Will you listen, kind friends, for a moment while a story to you I unfold? A marvelous tale of a wonderful sail of a noble lady of old. How hand and heart at an auction mart, soul and body she sold. 'Twas on the broad King's Highway near a century ago that a preacher stood whose heart o'erflowed, telling the fallen and low of a Savior's love and of a home above and of a peace that they all might know. All crowded around to listen and wept at the wonderful love that could wash their sin and receive them in his spotless mansions above. While slow through the crowd, a lady proud in her gilded chariot drove. Make way, cried the haughty outrider, you're closing the King's Highway. For my lady is late and their majesties wait. Give way then, good people, I pray. The preacher heard and his heart was stirred, and he said to the rider, nay. His eye like the lightning flashes, his voice as the thunder rings. Your grand feet days and your fashions and ways are all but perishing things. 'Tis the King's Highway, but I hold it today in the name of the King of Kings. Then bending his gaze on the lady and marking her soft eye fall, he said, in his name a sail I proclaim and bids for the fair lady call. Who will purchase the whole, her body and soul, coronet, jewels, and all? I see already three bidders. The world steps up as the first. I will give her my pleasures and all of the treasures for which my votaries thirst. She shall dance each day more joyous and gay with a quiet grave at the worst. Up steps the devil boldly, the kingdoms of earth are mine. Fair lady, thy name with an envied fame on all their bright tablets shall shine. Only give me thy soul, and I'll give thee the whole, their glory and wealth to be thine. And pray, what hast thou to offer, thou man of sorrows unknown? And he gently said, my blood have I shed to purchase her for mine own. To conquer the grave and her soul to save, I bore the judgment alone. I'll give her my cross of suffering, my cup of sorrow to share. But with endless love in my home above, all shall be righted there. She shall walk in light in a robe of white, and a radiant crown shall wear. Thou hast heard the terms, fair lady, that each hath offered thee. But which wilt thou choose, and which wilt thou lose, this life or the life to be? The fable was mine, but the choice is yet thine, fair lady, which of the three? Nearer the stand of the preacher, the gilded chariot stole, and each head was bowed as over the crowd the thundering accents rolled, and every word as the lady heard burned in her very soul. Pardon, good people, she whispered as she rose from her cushioned seat. Farewell, they say, as the crowd made way, you could hear her pulses beat. And each head was bare as the lady fair knelt at the preacher's feet. She took from her hands the jewels, the coronet from her brow. Lord Jesus, she said, as she bowed her head, the highest bidder art thou. Thou gavest for my sake thy life, and I take thy offer, and I take it now. I know the world and its pleasures at best they weary and cloy, and the tempter is bold, but his honors in gold prove ever a fatal decoy. Thy bid is the best. I long for thy rest. Lord, I accept it with joy. Give me thy cup of sorrow. Welcome earth's suffering and loss, that my portion may be to thank and praise thee for taking my place on the cross. Amen, said the earnest preacher, as the people wept aloud. Years have rolled on, and they are all gone who formed that awestruck crowd. Lady and throng have been swept along by the wind like a morning cloud, but the Savior has claimed his purchase. And around his radiant seat, a nobler throng in an endless song the wondrous story repeat. And a form more fair is bending there, laying her crown at his feet. That little poem is a true incident in the life of a preacher by the name of Roland Hill. And that lady who was saved that day, her name was Lady Anne Erskine, and she was the wife of the Lord Chancellor of England, a lady of nobility. And we would repeat that little account, my friend, because there may well be somebody in this room who is in the same position as that noble lady of old. That is, you're here tonight in your sins without the Savior. You're here tonight trying to find satisfaction for your heart and your soul, maybe in the things of the world. But if you're here in this room tonight without Christ, be sure of this, those same three bidders are here in this room to bid for your precious soul, to make a bid for your never dying soul. Those same three are here tonight. The world and all of its pleasures, in all of its glitter, in all of its entertainment, in all of its activity, would make a bid for your Christless soul, to so occupy your heart for the brief time that you're in this world so that you have no time to think of eternity. The things of this world, my friend, that can never satisfy your soul. This world can never produce what it promises, never. The Bible says hell and destruction is never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Haven't you found it so in your life? You seek to satisfy the longing and the emptiness in your soul with the things of this world that can never satisfy? Perhaps the wealthiest man who ever lived in this world, King Solomon, in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, lists the things there that he sought to satisfy his heart. He says he withheld not from his eyes anything. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I held not from them. I withheld not from my heart any joy. Even to the point where he could say, what can the man doeth that cometh after the king? Even that which hath been already done. There isn't anything that you can think of, that you can buy, that you can try, that King Solomon never tried. And he looked at the end of it all and he said, it's all empty. It's all empty. Haven't you found it to be so? I remember a friend of mine who was visiting in a prison, and there he stood. On the other side, behind those bars, was a young man who had been raised in a Christian home. He knew the gospel. And this friend of mine said to this young man, the pleasures of sin are for a season. This young man behind those bars said, it doesn't even satisfy for a season anymore. That's the way it is with the things of this world, can never satisfy the longing in your soul. And we've just sung, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. But the devil is here tonight too, that second bidder. And he too would make a bid for your soul, my friend. That one who is here either to distract or to deceive you. He'll seek to distract you from this meeting. He'll seek to bring into your mind anything, so long as you don't think about eternal things. So long as you don't think about the Savior who longs to save you tonight. The Savior who bled and died on the cross of Calvary in order to bring you into eternal blessing. The devil is here to distract you. And if he can't distract you, then he'll deceive you. Because the Lord Jesus said of that one, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do, for he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And so if he can't distract you tonight, then he'll deceive you into thinking that you don't need Christ. You don't need salvation. You've been a fairly good living person, and surely a God of love will take that into account in the last day and allow you into heaven after all. Don't listen to the deceiver tonight. Listen to the word of God that we'll open shortly and read. But there is another bidder here tonight, the Lord Jesus, the one whom we would present to you tonight as the Savior of sinners. And he it is indeed who is the highest bidder of the three, because he paid a tremendous price in order to secure your eternal blessing if you'll have him. He is the one, my friend, who has given everything up for you because he loves you. He gave his hands to the nails of the cross. He gave his feet to the nails of the cross. He gave his back to that cruel Roman scourge with which they whipped him until the blood ran and the gore spattered. He gave his head to the crown of thorns. He gave his cheeks to those who plucked off the hair. He gave his face to those who would dare to spit into that wonderful, holy face of the Son of God. He gave his side to the Roman spearhead. He gave his precious blood down to the dirt of the ground. He gave his mother to the disciple John. He gave his spirit back to God. He gave his life a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He couldn't give more, and he wouldn't give less. He gave everything he had, my friend, because he loves you, everything. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's the Savior we have to present to you tonight, Jesus. The highest bidder, the one who has given everything, my friend, out of love for your never-dying soul. The only one who can satisfy the longing in your heart, because the Bible tells us he satisfieth the longing soul and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. I think that's the 107th Psalm. The Lord Jesus is the only one that can satisfy your heart, because when God made your heart, he made it so big that the world cannot fill it. Cannot fill it. And so God sent an object into this world that was so large, your heart will never take it all in. That's Jesus. What a Savior. What a precious Savior. He can fill and satisfy your heart. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. You want satisfaction in your soul? Then you need Jesus. You need Jesus. Let's turn in our Bibles to the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, because this is a gospel meeting. And we're told in the first chapter of the book of Romans that the gospel of God concerns his Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel of God concerns Jesus Christ, the Savior that we present to you tonight. And so I believe we have in this 10th chapter of Acts the very first gospel that was ever preached to the Gentiles. The very first time we have recorded in the Bible where the gospel of the grace of God is preached to the Gentiles. So we will read from verse 30 of Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the 9th hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. We have this man, Cornelius. Very evidently, he was a man who was seeking. He was a seeking soul. And I wonder tonight if there's anybody in this company who is here tonight because you are a seeking soul. You know, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Are you seeking the Savior tonight? Is there a soul in this room who has a longing for satisfaction, a longing that you can't fill with the things of this world, and everything you try leaves you just as empty as before? 10 or 12 years ago, there was a man who, trying to raise funds for some certain thing, decided that he would put on a country music jamboree in the little town of Craven, close to where I live. And so this Craven Valley jamboree was put on, and for 4 or 5 days of the year, that little town of Craven that only has maybe under 200 people swelled to the third largest city in all of the province. 35, 40, 45,000 people stream in from all over this wonderful event that they thought was going to be so great and bring such satisfaction. But as the years go on, the numbers continue to dwindle and dwindle until I understand this is the last year they'll be able to have this jamboree because they can't sell enough tickets. That's the way it is with the things of this world. At first they appear so great, and at first they appear to fill and satisfy the heart. But those people that come all went away with just as an empty feeling inside as when they came. Until finally now they're not even coming because it doesn't satisfy. That's the way it is with the things of this world. The man who was the manager of the store where I work, when I started there, a man who was after wealth and money in this world, and he ascended up the ladder until he acquired a franchise of his own and a store of his own, and a successful one it was, from what I understand. But he wasn't satisfied with making hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. No, he thought perhaps if he adjusted the prices of the items in his store just a little bit, contrary to corporate rules, that he could make even more money, because all the money he was making now still never satisfied his heart. And so that's what he did, until the corporation found out what he was doing, locked up his store, shut him down. Now the man has no store, no income, no nothing. Oh, because there's nothing in this world that can satisfy the longing in the human heart. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. And so here we have this Cornelius searching and seeking for satisfaction. And I hope there's someone here tonight and you're seeking the Lord Jesus. Because I'll tell you something, he is seeking you. The Savior is seeking you tonight. Behold, I, even I, doth both search my sheep and seek them out, he said. As the shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away. The Lord Jesus Christ could say, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. He came from heaven into this world to seek you, my friend. And so tonight, if you're seeking, I know that you'll find him. The Lord Jesus said, they that seek me early shall find me. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. A seeking sinner cannot help but find a seeking Savior. And I know tonight that the Lord Jesus is seeking you. Will you come? Will you receive him tonight as your own Savior and Lord? Will you let him satisfy the longing in your soul? Are you going to go on rejecting the Christ of God and seek to fill up your heart with the things that this poor world has to offer? It will never satisfy. It's Jesus that you need. He is the one that satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. And so this Cornelius was one who was seeking, and I trust there's someone even in this company tonight that's seeking the Savior. If you seek Him tonight, you'll find Him, because He's seeking you. He is seeking you. He loves you, and He longs to fill your heart with satisfaction and joy and peace that He alone can provide. I would warn you tonight, my friend, that He won't always be seeking sinners. There is coming a day when the seeking stops. If we were to read in the 8th chapter of the book of Amos, it says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Are you going to be here in that day? Are you going to put this decision for the Lord Jesus Christ off until it's too late? And then in a panic, you're going to try to seek the word of the Lord and it won't be found? Because you're too late. Don't put it off. Don't trifle with your soul, my friend. Your soul's eternal destiny hangs in the balance even tonight. Have you ever considered what an eternity in the lake of fire is like, or will be like? I'll tell you one thing, it will never enter our minds how awful an eternity apart from God could be. What a solemn thing. Well, Cornelius was seeking. In the 30th verse, we find him seeking. And so I say, a seeking soul cannot help but find a seeking Savior. And so the Lord sends Peter to this man's house so that Peter can preach the gospel to this man. Verse 33. Cornelius says, "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Now therefore are we all here present before God. That's true of this company tonight. That's true of this group of people in this auditorium tonight. Now therefore are we all here present before God. You can't escape the presence of God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He pondereth all his goings, the scripture says. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. You can't escape his presence. Job says he looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. It's a fruitless thing to try to hide yourself from the presence of God. It can't be done. A God who fills all things, a God whom the heaven of heavens cannot contain, and whose holy eye rests upon this room tonight and even right into your heart. And he sees into your heart, my friend, the eye of God from which you cannot escape. 139th Psalm, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off." And then he says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol or the unseen, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there. You can't escape his presence, my friend. This God who loves you, this God who sent his only begotten Son into the world to save your soul, you cannot escape his presence. I remember hearing the story of a young boy who grew up in a Christian home. He had a father who loved the Lord. He had a mother who was a Christian. And this boy grew up and he was sort of an adventurous sort of a boy, and he wanted to go deep sea diving. Time came when he was going to leave, and his mother said to him, "You're not saved. You don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior." But she said, "I'll tell you this, you'll never escape the presence of God. You can't go anywhere and escape the presence of God. And the boy left. He was diving one day down under the ocean, and God sent a cruise ship overhead above where this boy was diving, a cruise ship passing by. On that ship there was a servant of God, a man who loved the Lord Jesus, and he was walking around that ship and passing out gospel papers to the people on that ship, giving out gospel tracts. He comes to a group of men standing on the deck by the railing, and he gives a gospel tract to one of those men. The man looks at it, tears it up, throws it over the railing into the ocean. And they all laugh. That was a big joke. But you see, even God was over that. That's what God wanted. Because as those pieces of torn paper began to sink, and that boy looking up, and through the sunlight coming through the water, he sees this paper floating down, and the water magnified it, and the glass in his diving mask magnified it even more, so that it looked like a big billboard coming down on top of him, and the piece of paper that was floated down, and on it was said, "Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God." And immediately the words of that boy's mother come into his mind. My mother said, "I can't escape the presence of God. Here I am on the bottom of the ocean. If something happens to this cord supplying the air to me, if something happens to it, I'm a dead man. I'm on the way to hell. I'm not ready." And there on the bottom of the sea, the boy gets on his knees. He accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. You can't escape the presence of God, my friend. It says there in that 139th Psalm, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike unto thee." You cannot escape the holy eye of God. And I wonder if you've ever felt yourself, my friend, in his presence. I hope you do tonight. I hope especially if you're here in this room without Christ, if you're here in this room in your sins, if you're here in this room seeking, I trust you'll feel yourself in the presence of God, with the very eye of God piercing into your soul and saying, "You are a sinner, and I have all your record before me, every thought, every word, every sin you've ever committed, all before me." Oh, but then I hope if you hear the love of God, who has provided a Savior that's able to cleanse you from every stain of sin, and make you fit for his holy presence. If you're here in this room without Jesus, if you're here in this room without the Savior, and if you are consciously in the presence of God, I'll assure you this, you can't be comfortable. You cannot. In the book of Job in the Old Testament, you remember how Job spends 38 chapters arguing with God, telling God how good he's been, what a good man he's been. But when you get to the 42nd chapter and Job finds himself consciously in the presence of divine holiness, suddenly Job's opinion changes. And he says, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." When Job consciously got into the presence of a holy God, suddenly he didn't think he was such a good man after all. And nor will you. You get consciously into the presence of God who knows all about you, you can't possibly feel good about yourself. What about Isaiah? That prophet Isaiah in the 6th chapter, he finds himself in the presence of a thrice holy God. There we have the seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." What kind of effect did that produce on Isaiah? "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And there's Daniel, one of perhaps only two men in all of the Bible of whom we have no recorded failure. And what did he say when he found himself in the presence of this same holy God? "Then I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." That's always will be the effect when a sinner gets into the presence of God, when he consciously finds himself in the light, fully exposed before the eyes of him with whom each one of us has to do. And there's Peter in the 5th chapter of Luke, when the Lord filled his boat with fishes after Peter had fished all night and caught nothing. He was a good fisherman. And Peter realizes that he is in the presence of divine holiness, the eternal Son of God. And he falls down at the feet of Jesus and says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." I say that's always the result when a sinner consciously gets into the presence of God. And I hope, my friend, tonight that you realize, if you're a sinner here in your sins, I hope you feel yourself in the presence of God. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God, Cornelius says. Isn't that a wonderful statement? To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. He wasn't interested in hearing a great preacher. He wasn't interested just because it was Peter who was coming to his house. What he was interested in was hearing the word of God. Is that what you're interested in tonight? Is that why you're here tonight? Because you want to hear all things that are commanded of God? I trust that's the desire of your heart, because I'll tell you this, there's nothing else that counts. There's nothing else that counts but this precious word of God that we hold tonight. This divine revelation from God. The only thing which is going to stand when everything else passes away. Because the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, the scripture says. Is that what you're resting in? Are you resting on solid foundations, the word of God, which lives and abides forever? Is that why you've come? Oh, how wonderful to have the word of God before us tonight. And I say one verse from this precious book is enough to take you to heaven for all of eternity. Because the Lord Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Here's the word of God open before us. And I say one verse from this precious book is enough to secure your eternal blessing. Are you going to hear it tonight? Will you hear? The Bible says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live." Hear and your soul shall live. Are you going to hear it tonight? Are you going to be like the ones of whom we read in the 1st chapter of Zechariah? "Thus saith the Lord, be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord." They did not hear. Is that going to be your case tonight? You're going to get up, walk out of this room, and you won't hear the word of God. You won't have it. You won't believe it. And you'll leave this room in your sins the same way that you came in, except a little more responsible. Oh, how solemn. There is a dire consequence attached to not hearing the word of God, to rejecting the word of God. And the Bible says, "See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven." And it tells us in the book of the Acts, I forget the chapter, one of the early chapters of the Acts, it says, "Moses truly spake unto the Father, saying, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." Every soul which will not hear that prophet. Oh, we trust tonight that you'll hear the word of God. It'll bring tremendous blessing into your life and into your soul. And it will also assure you that place in the Father's house where the Lord Jesus has gone to prepare. What a wonderful thing to hear the word of God. The Bible says, "If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer only, this man is blessed in his deed." I trust that you'll hear this word tonight and believe it. Because I say salvation comes by believing the Word of God, not by doing works. If we were to turn over to the 11th chapter of Acts, there we would read where the message of that angel to Cornelius was this: send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. You see, my friend, salvation comes through believing the Word of God. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And so these ones were all present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. See, the gospel tonight we present not as just something that's optional. He says here, all things that are commanded thee of God. And the Bible says that at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. And so we don't present the gospel as something that you can just choose to accept or reject with no consequence. There are indeed severe consequences for rejecting the gospel of the grace of God, because God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man. The man we present to you tonight is the Savior, the man who went to the cross of Calvary and hung there in his love for you, the man who bore the awful wrath of God against sin so that you could go free. That same man, if you reject him tonight as your Savior, you will stand before him then as a judge. How solemn. Well, we have in verse 34, Peter opens his mouth and says, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. God is not one who shows partiality. Why? Because every one of us are the work of his hands, Job tells us. We're all the works of his hands. That's one reason. That's one reason why God loves us all the same. And secondly, because it tells us in the book of Romans that there is no difference. No difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so the love of God goes out to every person in this room tonight, regardless of race, regardless of religion, regardless of what you've done. I say the love of God goes out to you tonight as he presents his beloved Son to you as the one who wants to be your Savior. God is no respecter of persons. There is no difference. Oh, there might be difference in your eyes. Maybe you look around and compare yourself to those who you think are much worse than you. But be sure of this, the Bible says, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin. There's not one part or one nation of men in this world that's better than another, not before God. The Bible says that he hath made of one blood all the nations of men, for to dwell upon all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We're all the same. We're all the same when it comes to the sin question. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And then verse 36, it says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Peace. There's some in this room who, like it says in Isaiah, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. There's someone in this room tonight and your heart is full of torment, no rest, and you desire peace tonight. Well, we can preach peace by Jesus Christ, because he is the one who is the Prince of Peace. It tells us that in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Is it any wonder that there's no peace in this world tonight? When this man who was the Prince of Peace was hung on a cross, and when it was said of him, away with him, crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us. Is it any wonder that we live in a world in which there is no peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And every person sitting in this room knows that that's the truth, that we live in a world in which there is no peace. I suppose there's been more wars to fight for peace than anything else. What a world we live in, fighting wars in order to try to get peace. They'll never attain it, because they cast out the Prince of Peace, nailed him to a tree and hung him up and said, away with him, away with him. My friend, tonight we can preach peace by Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Would you like to have peace with God tonight? Would you like to settle that question of your sins before God so that you can be at perfect peace? You can through the finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross of Calvary. Because it tells us in the first chapter of Colossians, having made peace by the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth. You can have peace with God tonight. You can have it. It's yours for the taking because God offers it through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, through his precious blood which was poured out there, which can cleanse you from all sin. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ. What a wonderful thing it is to have peace with God as to the sin question. And every person sitting in this room that knows Christ as Savior will say the same thing. What a tremendous load is lifted off the soul when you realize that you can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 39, at the end of the verse, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. His sinless, perfect pathway in this world for 33 and a half years ends with the outstanding crime of the ages. When this world would take the eternal Son of the living God, come into this world as a man, crown him with thorns, nail him to a tree, hang him up to die. The darkest deed ever committed in this Christless world, when they slew the Lord Jesus Christ and hung him on a tree. But just like God bringing blessing out of that ripped up gospel tract, God brings the greatest blessing out of the most awful and wicked and cruelest act ever to take place in this world. And the Lord Jesus suffers there on that cross, sheds his precious blood so that multitudes of sinners who have come to him, owned themselves as sinners and lost, and taken shelter under that precious blood, have been saved for all eternity. And the offer still goes out tonight to you. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And it can cleanse you tonight if you'll have him. Every stain of sin on your black heart can be washed clean in the blood of Jesus. And nothing else will do it. And so they crucified the Son of God and put him to an open shame. He lays down his life there at Calvary. But in verse 40 it says, him God raised up. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, every bit as much as of a historical fact as the crucifixion, the fact that he arose. The most carefully guarded truth in all of the Bible, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from among the dead. Because the Bible says, if Christ be not risen, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. But the Lord Jesus rose triumphant over the grave. Death could not hold the Son of God. It had no claim upon him. He laid down his life for you. And he could say in the 10th chapter of John, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. No, it tells us in the 2nd chapter of Acts that it was not possible that the Lord Jesus should be holden of death. Not possible. No, he it is who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead proves that God has accepted Christ, that God has accepted the work that his Son accomplished on the cross of Calvary. And it assures my eternal security, because God raised the Lord Jesus up, as it says here, and he didn't quit raising him until he set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's what God thinks of the work of his beloved Son. He's exalted him and extolled him and made him very high. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. And so the Lord Jesus is there tonight, the right hand of God, waiting for you to come. And he invites you to come tonight. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would you like rest tonight? Would you like rest and peace and joy and satisfaction? These are all things that this world desires. I was working with a soul about a year ago now, one who had everything that this world would have to offer, but one who was so empty and so tormented, she even considered suicide. The longing and the emptiness in her soul, in spite of all the earthly things that she possessed and had. And so I asked her if you could have one thing, what would it be? Just answer in one word. One thing, what would you like? Peace. Peace. If you could have something else, what would be the second thing that you would like? Joy. What would be a third thing? What would be a third thing that you would like if you could have anything? Love. Love, joy, peace. I said, I knew you'd say those things. I knew you'd say that. Because that's what every human heart craves and desires. Love, joy, peace. And so we turn to the fifth chapter of Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Those very things that that soul was craving, that I know where you can get them. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as Savior, and he'll fill your heart with love and with joy and peace so that you won't be able to contain it. Well, our time is up. The 43rd verse. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. What a glorious note to end a gospel meeting on. How much better a verse could you find to end a gospel meeting on? Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins. Whosoever. That means you, my friend. There's none too bad for Jesus. You remember when he was crucified, there were three crosses at Calvary. One despised and rejected the Savior to show that you ought not trifle with eternal things. But that other thief repented and was saved to show that there's none too bad for Jesus. No, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Would you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Won't you come and receive that forgiveness that he so freely offers? And it is free. The gospel is free. There will be no collection plate passed around this room tonight. What an insult it would be to God for me to stand up here tonight and say the gospel is free. As another has said, God is too rich to sell his salvation to you, and you are too poor to buy it. And so God gives it. What an insult it would be to God to then pass around the plate and say, now give us some money. No, my friend, the gospel is free. It's yours for the taking. Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and receive forgiveness of sins?